Documents from the experiments are missing from my files.
Maybe you mislaid them.
I didn't mislay them, Ariane. That work is my blood. I depend on that work to get grants. It's my future, and someone is stealing it from me.
Welcome to the Crypt Keeper's Coffin, a Tales from the Crypt retrospective brought to you by Bat and Spider. Episode 92, Report from the Grave. God damn it, Dale.
Yeah, tell me. Tell me how bad it was.
I don't know where my Vaseline is. I need Vaseline to keep my lips moist.
Yeah. No, yeah.
And, you know, I looked in two places. It's not there. Now I'm angry. If it's not in front of me, where I put everything else that I lose in my life, then I'm distraught. I don't know what to do.
It's now you're going to be off the entire episode. I know that for a fact. We've seen that before.
Yeah.
And your god-awful lips on screen.
If I try and say any large words, yeah, you're going to see my lips crack open. Blood's going to start squirting onto the lens. It's going to be foul.
It'd be like watching my two kids for the last week, day in and day out. As a parent,
squirting
with your
blood
kids
everywhere
all day... With your kids all day, every day, as a parent on vacation, it's like your number one job is to make sure they have enough water so they can ignore that water for the next 12 hours.
Uh-huh.
But once you see them again, like if they're in their playroom for hours, they emerge and the playroom is 90 degrees and they have like white ash lines around their lips, the outside of their lips. And you're like, I made a priority to get your water. You haven't touched it, but now your water's warm, so I have to get you more water.
Oh, man.
Because, God forbid, I just, like, let them... When I was a kid, I don't remember water. I don't remember drinking water. I drank soda whenever I could, and that's all I drank.
Yeah, I remember one of my best friends, we were talking about just the concept of water, and he was like, yeah, I don't drink water. I hate it. It sucks.
Yeah.
And, that stuck with me through this day.
Did it really?
Because even then, I was like... Yeah, water, it's the giver of life. But, you know, I didn't like consciously. It wasn't like now. I mean, I vaguely remember that, you know, the health teacher at school being like 7 glasses of water and me thinking, man, that's a lot of water. But
absolutely. And maybe it was a different time because, you know, reusable bottles weren't in and not even plastic bottles they sold. They weren't really a thing.
Yeah, no, I still remember when it being weird when like, water became popular. Like when it was like when Dasani, like when Coke and Pepsi started bottling water, that's when it really ramped up and you're like, this is weird. Because before that, it was, you were considered a rich person if you drank like Evian.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Because that's all there was. There was like Evian. Maybe like, Fiji was around.
Yeah. It was like you were an idiot if you spent money on water, which you like get out of the tap.
Right.
You know?
So, you know, I would drink water from the water fountain at school.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes I would suck it down, but that's all the water I was getting on a daily basis. And during the summer, forget about it.
Yeah.
I can remember being like a junior or senior in high school and my girlfriend at the time, she would just drink ice water. And that was like probably the first time I started drinking water, I guess, because her and her family would be drinking it. And I'd be like, I guess I've got to drink this.
Water drinkers.
Yeah, my lips are touching this wet water, and that's like the first time I remember drinking water. And now it's like, you know, my wife's like, "Did you fill their water? Do they have water up there? Did you check on them? Do they have water?" I don't know why. why does it have to be my problem? Every time we leave this house, especially, you know, we're like, you know, going on little day, yeah. we're leaving the house because we're in this rental house still, and we're just carrying like 15 pounds of reusable steel water bottles. Like every family member seems like yeah. we're carrying two out of this house, yeah. and it's like... you know, one of your kids is going to just drop it on the concrete and either smash the concrete to bits or dent the water bottle that you spent $15 to $20 on probably. And God forbid they do it on a tile in the kitchen or the hardwood floor of this house you're renting with a security deposit. Water.
Yeah. I'm right there with you on a much smaller scale. You know, we're on the water, the metal water bottle thing. Melissa, she recently yeah. upgraded to this fucking water bottle that is like, I think it's like a gallon. It is huge.
It wow. looks metal. Like
it's this giant yellow metal water bottle that's yeah. like, you know, circumference. Jesus. I don't know.
Oh,
it's,
my
it's
God.
It's huge. And it's like, right. I mean, the idea of even a cup holder just out of the window in the car, you know, it gets its own seat in the back, you know. The
yeah.
back.
You need a whole seat. You need to buckle it in. I need to buckle it in. Because you slam on the brakes.
God forbid. Yeah, that thing will shoot right through the seat.
Now, you know, nowadays I drink water. I enjoy my metal water bottle too. Yeah. But let it be my response. Let my water be my responsibility.
Yeah.
If my kids forget their water, they're old enough to know better. Like the only way they're going to learn is if their lips dry and crack and bleed
yeah.
2 or 3 days in a row because yeah. they don't have their water.
Are they big milk drinkers? I mean, so like the beverages when I was a kid, it was like all day, every day. It was like milk of some sort, chocolate milk, preferably.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Turkey Hill iced tea. That was like the main thing.
Oh my God.
You know, when you started going to the convenience store by yourself, riding your bikes with your little shitty friends.
Right. I mean,
and like Mountain Dew. Owners, I mean, just like
shop owners, like staring at you the entire time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Like a couple of kids in there. Yeah.
Me staring at the candy aisle, deciding which candy bar.
Yeah.
Is going to serve my day best.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I probably drank a lot of iced tea. My mom made iced tea a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised I don't have kidney stones probably because I drank a lot of iced tea as a young boy. But if I were out, I would drink, all I remember is drinking soda.
Yeah.
And my mom, she never said anything, too. I guess.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm out riding bikes with my shitty friends, I would go to the store and buy Coke. And now all I can think about is how thick and mucusy my spit was on a hot day.
Yeah.
Like, how could I survive?
Yeah. Yeah, and your mouth is just filling up with sugar slime. Like, it's basically just syrup.
Yeah, you're just thirstier than when you started.
Oh, man. Yeah, Mountain Dew was my poison. I fucking loved that shit. Oh, my God. My I drink so God, much Mountain Dew.
Whew, man. That's a long and lonely road.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, you're Vaseline, too. I mean...
Yeah,
God, I'm sorry about your Vaseline.
And it's probably right. It's probably 3 feet away from me somewhere.
Yeah, but you put it somewhere that you don't normally do.
Yeah.
And now it's
my life is over.
Yeah.
Report from the grave, Dale. Can you lay it on us and the listeners what this episode is all about?
I you know what? I'm going to be 100% honest with you.
You don't know?
And maybe it's because of the YouTube version I had to watch because I'm still on location and I don't have my DVDs with me, but maybe the quality was bad. Maybe I looked away for a second, but I couldn't tell you because two people break into a crypt and try to start reading somebody's mind, a serial killer's mind
with some electrical equipment.
Right, and he hooks it up to his lady friend, and that spirals out of control into something I don't even know what was happening. So please, this might be the most unrelatable episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Okay, let's
so yeah. Please, this is a waste of time for us to be recording this episode. But let's talk. At least we talked about water. But you can tell me what this episode's about.
That's hilarious. I'm excited that you're. I thought I was having a bad experience watching this because my my ADHD was kicking in hard as soon as I hit play. Because it was like the middle of the day. I'm like doing work. I'm super busy. And I'm like, God damn it, I got to watch this. So I put it on.
Yeah.
Just like, and it's the worst time for me to watch something. My mind is just like darting around. So,
yeah.
But from what I got, we got a researcher who's developed a way to read the memories of the dead. So he can put this little contraption on, hook it up to a dead person. For some reason, they pick a preserved corpse of a serial killer. I guess because he was preserved. I don't know. Hook him up to this, and they're in there. But there's not enough juice. He can faintly hear something in his little stupid plastic headphones. But he's not getting it, so he takes it off to up the juice. But his girlfriend puts it on, who he's sort of like secretly mad at because he thinks she's stealing his secrets and selling them.
Yeah,
he's selling his technology behind his back. So to punish her, he really amps the juice up, and she gets a major dose of serial killer mind memories.
Ariane, you want to hear something? Hear this.
She dies.
Oh, she dies. Because I remember didn't he try to save her? Did he immediately regret?
He immediately regrets it, yes. When he sees her screaming and horrible pain and writhing around.
Dumb.
Super dumb. So hard to get those goggles off, too. Or those headphone things.
Yeah, it really was.
After she dies, he has a short stint in the mental ward. He has a vision, some flies draw a picture on his window that he's clearly thinks is a plans for a circuit. I guess if you know, it's like that old thing. If you have a hammer, everything, what is that called? Everything's a nail. Is that how it goes? So in his mind, oh yeah, that's a fucking circuit that the, flies are drawing with their bodies on my window. And he creates a new machine, and he conjures up his dead girlfriend through the use of computers somehow. And she's alive.
Boy,
they have sex. It's great. But she's kind of bummed. She's like, well, you got to, you know, this can't last. As soon as you turn off that computer, I'm toast. And all the while, there's the serial killer, the ghost of the serial killer is also looming in the background. He's also been brought back unknowingly, kind of chasing them around.
Oh, because he was inside of her.
Yeah, and he was the one. It was all his plan. He was under this guy's. From what I could tell, it was all the serial killer's plan all along. Because they have the diary of the serial killer at the end, and the other fucking his like best friend, who's like Neil Gaiman, is like, oh yeah,
yeah. He had the hair of God.
I know
who was his hair. It was like the Sandman's hair.
I thought I was at London Comic Con in the 90s, and I was at the Vertigo booth, where every guy in a trench coat was lining up to pitch their story.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a basic thing. Ghost in the machine, isn't it? But the ghost is my lovely girlfriend.
My love of my life.
Love of my life.
And I killed her.
Dale, I mean, I like this episode, actually. Again, it doesn't really feel like a Tales from the Crypt. It was like too serious for that. It felt more X-Files-y to me. But I liked it. And the thing I liked, which also probably kind of sounds like it affected your viewing, was that there wasn't a ton of over-explaining. There were huge portions of this episode where it was all visual storytelling and no one was talking. And I applaud that, because that is a rare thing on Tales from the Crypt. Usually they are just in your face telling you exactly what's going on. I like that about this.
I mean, because as soon as they leave the crypt, there's a scene. So he creates the circuit from the flies and their blueprint. But then the scene where he's in his laboratory and there's like 8 dead women hooked up to this thing.
Oh, yeah. Really explain that. I forgot. Yeah, he hooked up his dead girlfriend, but also
8 other women.
Girls.
Yeah. And I was like, what? Yeah. Okay. Cause I was like,
I forgot.
Where did
that.
We just jump to? What just happened? And the quality of the YouTube video was just shot. Oh, I was like, maybe if I just watch a small window of it on my iPad, maybe the quality will be better.
It was a dark episode. So I can imagine it probably didn't look great. Yeah. It almost like I wanted this to be like a late 90s like movie. Like I was like hungry for this to be expanded because I think it's a cool idea. Like, yeah, it reminds me of Brainstorm, which we just watched. But like the idea of hooking up this silly head thing to a dead person and then being able to like extract whatever's in their brain right into your brain, which seems like maybe you should come up with the recording process first instead of like shooting it right into your own brain. It seems like a bad idea.
Right, because there's no changing, you know, there's no you're just overwriting your
or hook DNA it up to a rat first or something, you know.
Yeah. See what the rat does.
Yeah. Can this rat handle this serial killer mind juice? I don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Ambitious. It was an ambitious story, and it wasn't. Yeah, you're right. The problem, I guess, was it didn't explain a whole lot, and I think that's probably where it fell short. But also, maybe it believes in its viewer. It has faith in the viewer to draw conclusions based on what you're seeing without a lot of exposition, and that's probably a good thing because you know you only have 25 minutes you're working with. And to tell this kind of a different story, which we've seen this season, certainly. I mean, they're going in different directions like crazy, trying to keep it
They threw the plans out the window. They're just letting these moody British folks take over.
Yeah. Yeah, they're throwing the baby out with the blood pudding and bathwater. The bangers and mash baby with the...
I liked it.
Delete that part.
We'll see.
Delete that part. Thank you for deleting that part. The main guy, though, he's been in a lot of things since this episode of Tales from the Crypt, and I mainly knew him from True Blood, but he's been in a lot of things.
True Blood. I only watched like a couple episodes of that, but I who's this guy? James Frain. I liked him. I thought he was good. He was compelling.
He was very good and good. A good character actor.
Yeah, and good he's still him. Like, oh, he's on Orphan Black, he's on Gotham, he's on True Detective.
It was directed by a master of horror, so.
That's right.
Thank you.
Master of horror, William Malone.
Billy Malone.
Billy. Oh, yeah, that's right. Bill Malone. Okay. We already did that joke.
It says, now this makes me, this... The did you know portion of IMDb says this episode is referenced in House on Haunted Hill, 1999.
Weird.
What? The name Vladimir Timrak appear on Price's guest list. Timrak was the killer and evil spirit character in the Tales from the Crypt episode Report from the Grave, which was also directed by House on Haunted Hill director William Malone. Wow. That is pretty kind of cool that there's a reference to this episode in a movie that this guy directed. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I forgot about that whole, the serial killer. Like that was like another whole, I mean, it was an integral part to it, but it was like, man, this could be expanded into a larger thing. Like, and the whole thing with his diary, like I didn't really get it at first, but then I was like there was a hint that the serial killer, like, knew this was happening, that this guy was going to come on and create this technology.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because they're even the discussion point when they first got into the crypt, they were like, why is this guy so well preserved?
Yeah.
And the guy even said that he tried to preserve himself as best as he could.
26 certified kills, 19 women, 7 men. Timrak was a renowned mesmerist who apparently hypnotized his victims with a single stare. Under his control, they were made to commit terrible and depraved acts before he murdered them and bathed in their blood.
After death, he wanted to ensure that he was well preserved for when they came back to be able to get him back from the grave or something like that?
Yeah, and he got a book publishing contract to publish his memoirs, which is very important. Part of this.
Yeah.
You know, you got to cast a wide net of people who might create telephones to the dead, you know?
Wow. Brilliant.
Show up to the river, the creek with a fiver fishing rods, Dale. You're going to get more fish. I don't know. That's how people fish still? I don't know.
Some of them. Some of them do.
Some of them show up with dynamite.
Right? An old rowboat and dynamite.
That's not sporting, though. Not sporting.
Not sporting, Gov.
Dale, how about next week? What are we going to do?
Next week, Chuck, let's take a look at the old docket. Next week, episode 9, Smoke Rings. A young man with a strange device is hired onto an advertising company by an esteemed executive. But what that exec doesn't know is that the young man is in cahoots with her enraged ex-partner who is out for revenge.
Ooh. I'm lost. I got so lost in that.
Boy. Daniel Craig is in this episode.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hello? Okay.
Wow. Ute Lemper. Great name. I love this name. Ute Lemper.
Did you say Ute?
Ute. U-T-E.
Gail Honeycutt. Trez Hanley. Wow. Great.
What was Daniel Craig's big break? Was it, at least for us, it must have been like, was it Layer Cake or something like that? One of those movies?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
This is way before that.
Directed by Mandy Fletcher.
Who's that?
Director and producer known for The Faint-Hearted Feminist, Blackadder the Third, and Deadly Advice.
Mm. I used to watch some Blackadder sometimes. That was funny. Funny ass show. Sure, watch
a
that?
Couple episodes of Absolutely Fabulous. Yeah, Blackadder, Absolutely Fabulous.
Yeah. Abfab, yeah. I love that show. Yeah. Man. What's that fucking show in the department store? Are You Being Served? Do you ever watch that? I love that stupid show. I love it.
I've never watched it, but yeah.
It used to run on PBS like every night, like midnight. It's just constantly on. Smoke Rings. Why is it spelled W-R-I-N-G-S, Dale? I guess we'll find out next week.
Stay tuned.
Oh, one thing I forgot to talk about.
Yeah, please.
It's an unpleasant topic, but I have to bring it up. We saw the Crypt Keeper's feet again this episode. He does a joke about his whole shtick this week is gardening. And he makes a joke about he's got to go plant his squash. The camera pans down and we see a man's head sticking out of the dirt. And then Crypt Keeper's horrifying feet step on the guy's head to bury him under the dirt. And he keeps saying, squash, get it? Squash.
Right.
I'm the Crypt Keeper. Yeah.
But in a southern drawl.
Yeah, because he's a farmer. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, no, yeah.
But, God, those feet. I mean, that poor guy. I mean, I know he was dead, but that to have those feet touching him on the face area. Oh. Yeah.
And it feels like it's been like 2 or 3 seasons since we've seen his feet. So what foot locker are they keeping those things? You know? Like they had to go find them in the back of some lot, some studio lot somewhere.
Is it too late to change the name of the show to the Crypt Keeper's Foot Locker?
Oh my god! Oh yeah, that's too good, man.
That smell, just opening that,
mm-hmm.
The smell is hitting you like one of those boxing gloves on a spring, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Good Lord,
Chuck.
All right, Dale, let's end this. We've done enough damage.
Let's buzz out of here. It's a nice quick one this week.
Buzz off, creep. We'll be right back.
Squash! 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 Squash!